It is time for the Ancient Landmark, brought to you by the Caneyville Church of Christ, meeting at the four-way stop in Caneyville, Kentucky. The Caneyville Church of Christ meets for Bible study on the Lord's Day at 10 a.m. and worship at 10:45. We meet Sunday afternoon at 5. We meet for Wednesday night Bible study at 7. If you'd like to ask a Bible question or schedule a Bible study, please feel free to call 589-4167. Your speaker today is Jared Jacobs.
And welcome to this another edition of the Ancient Landmark. My name is Jared Jacobs, and I'm so glad to be with you. So thankful for this time we have to once again open up God's Word and to study together. We encourage you, if you will, to get a Bible out and follow along with the things we're going to study as we spend time together in the Book of God. If you'd like to, you can call me at 589-4167. You can call or text if you have a Bible question. And if you want to ask questions about what we're talking about today or any other Bible-related subject, we'd love to talk to you and love to study with you. Today, what I'd like for us to do is to go to the book of Psalms and to the 23rd Psalm in particular. Now, 23rd Psalm should be familiar to a lot of us. I imagine folks that's been in Bible classes and different things, you might have had a teacher have you memorize that particular psalm. Or a lot of times we hear that psalm at funerals and other places such as this. And that's a good place and certainly appropriate for a comforting type of a psalm. It is appropriate for us to learn and to memorize and to know, because I believe it teaches us many important lessons about the Lord and about us and about our relationship with Him and so forth. So I'll encourage you, if you will, to take any notes you'd like to take, follow along as we study together. Here we have today also with us our good friend Tommy Peeler. And Tommy's been with us in the past, and he agreed to come and be with us again today. He is from Indianapolis area. He preaches around Indianapolis there and is doing a good job. And we appreciate him a lot. Tommy and I have been friends for several years, and more than I want to think about, and a lot of years together, and I appreciate him a lot. So welcome to the program, Tommy.
Well, thank you, Jerry. Thank you. It's close to 30 years, but I appreciate your friendship and appreciate this opportunity. And it's always a blessing to talk about the Word, and there's no better way when we start talking about it just to read it, because that is just the Word of God. It begins a Psalm of David and says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." One thing, Jared, I'm struck by the number of times the writer says, "my," "I," and "me," and uses these terms. The Lord is our shepherd as the people of God, and He is my shepherd individually. Mm-hmm. I have responsibilities corporately in a group, and I have responsibilities individually before God. Mm-hmm. And the Lord guides me individually, and He guides the group that we worship with in His Word and through His Scripture. And He is my shepherd. He and I shall not want. So many things to emphasize about this text, as we were talking about earlier this evening. And one of the ways I like to divide it, Jared, is verses 1 through 4 describes the Lord as a shepherd, and verses 5 and 6 describe Him as a host who invites us to eat at His table. The phrase, "the Lord is my shepherd," is only four words. It's actually five words, isn't it, in English, and two words in Hebrew. But you could write a page of prose for this line of poetry. A shepherd worked long hours. He got up early. He stayed up late. He sometimes didn't sleep at all. Jacob said in Genesis 31, verses 39 and 40, "By day the heat consumed me, the frost by night, and sleep fled from my eyes." He's describing his work as a shepherd in Genesis 31, verses 39 and 40. By day, he dealt with the heat. At night, he dealt with the cold. He avoided sleep. That's what being a shepherd is. The shepherd exercises great vigilance in looking after every sheep. The job of a shepherd is such that if he has 99 sheep safely in the fold, he'll go out and look for that one that's lost in Luke 15. Verses 3 through 7, in Matthew 18, verses 12 through 14. He will look for that one sheep that's lost, and he will stand up and defend that sheep against violent foes, against bears, against lions. David talked about that in 1 Samuel 17. Yes. And so it would take so many pages to sum up what is summed up, and the Lord is our shepherd. Often, too, after he finds the sheep, he has to carry them in his arms. This is mentioned in Psalm 28, verse 9, in Isaiah 40, verse 11. God is gracious to us, and so much is summed up in that
fact. Oh, absolutely. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. And I can't help but think also of this, Tommy, from this standpoint of who's writing. Well, who's writing is David. David is writing this, and you notice he doesn't say, "Here's King David," but he doesn't say, "The Lord and I are shepherds." It would have been common, and it was common in those days, for the king is to be considered a god.
King and considered a shepherd. Like First Kings 22:17, when Micaiah said, "I saw all Israel like sheep without a shepherd," Ahab knew he was saying he was going to be killed.
Yes, he understood that. And so, but David, in his humility, he doesn't say, "The Lord and I are shepherds." He doesn't say, "I am the Lord's shepherd." The Lord is my shepherd. And so what does that say about David? And even about his humility before God? He is in a position, like I said, where men bow down to him. But he says, "No, I bow down to God. And in that condition, I shall not want." The King James says, "I shall not want." And I think yours says something similar.
It say, "I shall not want."
Okay.
And not be in need.
Yes, exactly. I'm not going to lack. I'm not going to be in need of something. And when I think about that statement, even David, when he says this, he'll say in 37:25 of Psalms, "I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread." God knows how to bless people from a physical standpoint. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Well, what things? Well, you go back to verse 25 of Matthew 6, 25, and read down to verse 33. And what are we going to wear and where are we going to live and things of a physical nature.
To eat, what to drink.
What he'll provide. But God also provides spiritually. And so for those who are his children, there is provision made that way too. So "I shall not want" means a lot, because I will not lack. Either way you want to go with this, I'm not going to lack when the Lord is my shepherd. And so the question, me and Tommy were talking about this before, the question is the Lord your shepherd? Now, you're following somebody, folks. There's no question. You're following somebody. You're following your own thoughts, or you're following mom and dad, or, I mean, go down the list. But is the Lord your shepherd? Now, if the Lord's your shepherd, now we have something. He said, "I shall not lack." I shall not want or shall not lack. Someone, if you're following somebody else, you're going to lack.
Yeah. And we usually don't think of it as we're following some shepherd, but that's exactly what we are doing. even if we wouldn't ever articulate it that way, we're all following somebody. We're all listening to somebody. We all have a direction that our life is going. And what we are encouraging and appealing to you to do is to follow the Lord as that shepherd. And it says, I will not want, I will not lack. The greatest need of the sheep is for the shepherd himself. And only if we make him our joy, our God, our all, only then do we find the true meaning of life. And the Lord is my shepherd. He supplies our greatest need, and that is God himself. He supplies himself as an answer to our needs. Psalm 73, 25 and 26 reveals that. Whom have I in heaven but you, and besides you I desire nothing on earth.
And so what does the shepherd do? Well, here, as you go through verses 2 through 6, and rightfully so, the Lord is a shepherd and the Lord is a host, but every one of these verses shows us things that a shepherd does. And so, he makes me lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside the still waters. Here's your provision. We touched on this a little bit a moment ago, but here's your provision. Green pastures, still waters. There's your food, there's your water. From a physical side, no question, God sends his rain to fall upon the just and the unjust.
Jesus taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread.
Yes.
And Jesus requested physical needs as well. And God is the source for these things, whether a person recognizes him or not, as the passage you quoted demonstrates.
Whenever you get into this, Matthew 5 also says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And the reason is, what's the reason?
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
They shall be filled.
And, we have a longing for God, a longing for his righteousness, a longing that only he can meet. As Augustine once said, God created us for himself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in him. C.S. Lewis said, cars run on gasoline, and people run on God, and neither get very far without the other.
Hey, yeah. And so that's something to think about too, isn't it? That's pretty good. So here he is. He makes me to lie down in the green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He's showing me where this food is. And you think about from the spiritual side, and Jesus said in John chapter 4, how that if you knew who you're talking to, talking to the woman at the well, if you knew who he's talking to, you would ask, and I would give you living water so you would not thirst. And so here's this blessing. He restores my soul. Restoring my soul. That's a man's need right there. I need to be restored in my soul. Men are lost. And you need to be saved. You want to be saved? You'll not be saved unless the Lord's your shepherd. You follow men. You follow your own ideas. You follow other things, whatever. And you'll stay in that lost condition. When you decide you're going to follow the Lord, when you decide you're going to run after him, now you can talk about having restoration, the restoring of my soul, and leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I said this the other day to somebody, that God is not going to do you harm. There's nothing that God has you to do, tells you, commands, or anything that is said or commanded for your harm. It's for your good.
For our good,
For your blessing. He leads me where? In the paths of righteousness. Not wickedness. Righteousness for his name's sake. He's going to bless you. Now, you're not going to get blessed if the Lord's not your shepherd.
Yeah.
But there is blessing here.
In Deuteronomy 6, it makes the statement that you just referred to, Jerry. Deuteronomy 6, verses 20 through 25, that the commands, the decrees of God are for our good always. That was said to Israel first. But God loves us intensely, and the things he tells us are in our best interest. Our best interest. But a couple of things that strike me. One, he restores my soul. In Psalm 19, as the Bible was talking about the blessings of God's Word and God's law, Psalm 19, verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul." Restoring the soul, the same phrase used here in 23:3. God restores our soul. Psalm 19 shows us he uses his word, his revelation, his light in Scripture to guide us in that right path, to restore our soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness. This is what Psalm 31 verse 3 says, Jerry. "For you are my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, you will lead me and guide me." For your name's sake, God guides us. He restores our soul. He guides us in the right path. He leads us in the right way. He does it for His glory and for our good, for His name's sake. And yet, it is always in our best interest. To make a slight tangent on that, I have heard some people occasionally criticize God for calling upon man to praise Him. And some made the statement, we don't like people who are always asking for others to praise us. That's right. That's right. We don't like that. It's not a good quality in man. But God and man are different. Man is not equal to God.
Oh, no.
And the thing is, if we praise God, that doesn't make Him any better. And if a person curses God, it doesn't make him any worse. God calls us to praise Him for His glory, yes, but for our good. It is in our best interest to praise Him, to seek Him, to follow Him.
Absolutely. And when you think about that opportunity and the blessing we have in doing so, why would we not do that? When you look around and see the evidence of God that is all around, and the evidence of His handiwork in this world, and in the evidence of this Bible that is so true and that teaches us and instructs us, how could we say and do anything else except worship, except praise Him, except glorify Him and honor Him? You go to the Scriptures and you read about God in such terms that He fills heaven and earth. You read about terms in Isaiah 40 about how He measures the heavens in a span. The idea of span is the idea of the length between your little finger and in your thumb. That length across your hand from your little finger to your, that's a span. And imagine God being able to measure all the heavens in a span. And here He is. He holds the world. He holds the oceans in the palm of His hand. And as a friend of mine said one time, he said, when you can hold the ocean in the palm of your hand, or whenever you can measure the heavens in a span, then you can criticize God. Whenever you can do those things, then you might have something to say against God. But not until then. And so that here where he says, "for His name's sake," means so much. It's significant, because when he could swear by no greater, he had to swear by himself to Abraham, because there is none greater than God Himself. And He made promises, and he told the truth, and He loves his creation. He loves all of us. He wants to be your shepherd, and you have to accept Him. Are you going to be the sheep in God's fold or not? See, and if you want to be His sheep and follow Him, then He says, here's where restoration is, here's where provision is, here's where all these things, this good and this love and everything is. Let me pause for a moment and remind you, this program is brought to you by the Caneyville Church of Christ. The Caneyville Church of Christ meets on a Lord's Day at 10 a.m. for Bible study, 10:45 for morning worship, and 5 in the afternoon for worship. You'll be our honored guest if you come and be with us. Then, or Wednesday night, we meet also for Bible study at 7 p.m. You'd be our honored guest to come and be with us at any and every time that you can. We'd love to see you. We might meet right across the road from the Sacramento Bank, there near the intersection of Highway 62 and Highway 79 in Caneyville in Grayson County. We'd love for you to come be with us, to visit with us, and certainly when you come, you can ask your Bible questions, you can talk to us, ask us what we do and why we do it. You come and bring an open Bible and bring an open mind as we study together. And if you don't have a Bible, you come on anyways, because we'll provide a Bible for you. We want you to know that the things we're doing and the things we're saying come from the Scriptures, come from the Bible, the Book of God. And so we certainly want you to come be with us. If you'd like to, you can go to our website, CaneyvilleChurchOfChrist.com, and you have access to many audio recordings and videos and written stuff and all kinds of things. You can write to us and ask your Bible questions. You can go to our Facebook page, like us and follow us on Facebook, just as easy as that. And you can like us and follow us, and we have many things that we add also during the week on Facebook. If you'd like to have a correspondence course, we'll set that up as well. And all you got to do is call me, 589-4167. You can call me, you can text, and ask for the correspondence course. It's absolutely free, and we will send you lesson one just whenever you request it. We'll be glad to start that even today. So just let me know about that. If you'd like to have just a sit-down Bible study, we will do that as well. And we'll sit down, just sit at the kitchen table and talk about God's Word. Let's talk about it, let's study God's will, and let's learn what God would have us to do and what He would have us to be. Let's do what is necessary so that the Lord is our shepherd, and we accept that role and accept the blessings that come as a result. So here we've talked about, we've gone through about three verses so far, Tommy. And so, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What do we see here in Psalm 23 and verse 4?
One of the things is we see in the most dangerous of conditions, the valley of the shadow of death, in the most dangerous of conditions and circumstances, God is with those who are His sheep. The sheep can say, I fear no evil. That doesn't mean nothing bad's going to happen to the child of God. That doesn't mean nothing, he's not going to face difficulties in life. But it does mean God is there. God is present. And God can somehow strengthen and sustain us through the crisis. And God can use His rod and His staff to protect us and to defend us. A powerful image. Derek Kidner said of this verse, only the Lord can guide a man through death. All other guides turn back, and the traveler must go alone. You mentioned earlier, Jared, that we're all following someone. Mm-hmm. Whether we think of it as the shepherd-sheep relationship, we're all following someone. Mm-hmm. Who is your shepherd? Only the Lord will be with you in the valley of the shadow of death. All other guides turn back, and you're going to have to make it on your own.
You will. And David also said in Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? See, Psalm 23:4, I will fear no evil. I'm not going to be afraid. The only thing you can do is kind of like what Jesus said. Don't fear the man who can destroy the body but can't destroy the soul. You know, so fear him that can destroy both soul and body in hell. But don't fear the man. I mean, what can he do? He's going to kill you. Okay, well, he killed you. And then, but if your soul's right, then in one sense, he kind of did me a favor. Proverbs 28 and verse 1 says that the wicked flees when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. And folks, that's what I need to remember. We need to be bold. And think about that, being the sheep, following the shepherd, being the sheep, but you're bold as a lion. Oh, that's a good image right there. Thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. No, it's not my rod and my staff that did that.
Yes.
Thy, your rod, your staff do it. Not my stuff, but God. God's the one who comforts. And every one of these things, Tommy, as we already mentioned, are representative or are reflective of a shepherd. Provision, the food, the leadership, the leadership for good. You're going to take them to the good place. And even when it goes bad or whenever the storms of life come, the sheep look to the shepherd and the shepherd says, listen, I'm going to protect you. Mm-hmm. David would himself would kill a lion on one occasion. He killed a bear on another occasion. Yeah. And no doubt there's other things that he had to deal with. And the sheep could rest in assurance that David was there to protect him. Mm-hmm. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Those sheep didn't have any rods and staffs, but David did, and he had a slingshot too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so makes that possible for this to be, comfort in this way. But you're not comforted like that unless the Lord's your shepherd. Mm-hmm. Is the Lord your shepherd? Go down here with me in verse number 5, Tommy. Mm-hmm. Where he says, go ahead.
Prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies and anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. It's common for a host to anoint the head of a guest. And God is providing this service. God is providing abundant provision. Our cup overflows. And then in verse 6, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me or pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, generally when that word follow or pursue is used in the Old Testament, it's used to describe people getting away from things that are unpleasant, that are painful, that are destructive. For example, the consequences of sin may follow us. Proverbs 13:21, or it may be that a foreign army may pursue us and try to destroy us. But look at what's chasing us here, Jared. Mm-hmm. God's goodness and God's loving kindness. And the final blessing is dwelling in God's house forever.
Mm-hmm. And you talk about something beautiful right there. Here is fellowship. Here's that true fellowship. In fact, you can just turn... Well, turn back to Psalm 15, where he says, ask the question, who's going to dwell in thy house? Who's going to dwell in thy holy hill, if I have it? Yes. Who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who's going to dwell in thy holy hill? And the rest of that psalm answers that question and answers and tells you just how it is you're going to do it. Go back to Psalm 23, verse 6. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord. Who's going to dwell there? I'll tell you who's going to dwell there. It's the people who have the Lord for their shepherd. It's the people who are following the Lord. And if you go to Psalm 15 and see some of these characteristics, I don't know if I'm be able to read everything right now, but read Psalm 15 and see those characteristics that are so true. He says, these people shall never be moved.
Yeah.
They will not be moved. Oh, no. And this here is the reason why, the Lord your shepherd. And we see this not only here, but we see this even fulfilled in Christ, too. Because here's Christ who is that shepherd. John chapter 10, Jesus talks about being the good shepherd and how that he fills that role. And we talk about prepares a table for me in the presence of mine enemies and all of this. Again, Jesus is in that role. He's the one that provides blessings. He's the one that provides for us in so many ways. It's so beautiful and so wonderful. And I tell you what, there's so much, Tommy, that we could talk about in Psalm 23 that just...
Absolutely. The text is always greater than we are. And we hope some of the things we've said help you appreciate it. But the text is greater than our ability to expound the text.
Yes, and so take some time yourself to read this for yourself and consider what Psalm 23 has to say and how that fits in. Because listen to me, if you want Psalm 23 read at your funeral, that's fine. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to mean nothing if you have not lived it before that time. If you have not lived it so that the Lord is your shepherd and you follow him in faith and to repent of your sins, confess your faith in him and be baptized to follow him as a Christian and to be the true sheep in his fold, then you have just wasted it. And the Lord was not your shepherd. And so those words ring hollow at a funeral. But if you've lived it, oh, what a difference that makes and how wonderful that is. I'm so thankful for this time. So thankful you could be with us, Tommy. So thankful for our opportunity we might study and learn God's word. But until next time, Lord willing, we bid you good day.
You have been listening to The Ancient Landmark, brought to you by the Caneyville Church of Christ. Tune in tomorrow at this time for another study from the Book of God.